Good evening, everyone. We are officially calling the meeting to order. What I would like to do first is just to give brief introductions. I know we have our name tags here, but I would like to do this at every committee meeting if possible. I am Karen Lynch. I am the chair of the committee, and I'm also the Prince George's County representative, or a Prince George's County representative. So, Pat, we'll start with you.
And I'm Pat Jackson, and I represent Fairfax County on the council.
I'm Lorraine Silva, and I represent Arlington County.
I'm Barbara Hermanson, and I represent Alexandria and also serve as the Virginia Vice Chair.
I'm Carol Walker. I'm an at-large member. I live in the District of Columbia. I am the D.C. Vice Chair.
Great. Thanks so much. I just want to remind everyone that this meeting is being streamed live and to encourage you to speak into the microphones because it's also being recorded. So at this time, we'll have our public comment period. Does anyone from the public have any comments for today? And if you could state your name, that would be great.
Just to let everyone know, I figured it was a little much to bring the big clock. So I will have 2 minutes, and at the end of 2 minutes, you can hear a, hold on, wait for it.
Is it the orchestra?
I won't even need 1 minute.
Doors closing.
Oh, no, I guess I've wasted 15 seconds. I'm Chris Barnes, and I'm also known as Fix Wamata, and thank you for giving me a moment to speak to you. I actually just wanted to ask the subcommittee what the progress is on a rider's bill of rights. I know the general committee is taking this up, but in reference to operations and customer service, if this is going to make it onto the agenda anytime soon.
Well, the full committee is actually working on that Bill of Rights, so we're not going to discuss it individually at this committee level, but we will work with the full body.
Okay, and so there's been some progress in the full body on?
I'm not quite sure of the status. Barbara?
I can tell you that the council's chair has been sort of workshopping it around. I haven't checked in with him recently about it, but I know there have been some discussions about it. So maybe there will be more at the next full meeting in June.
Great.
He's taking it under advisement.
Yeah, I know that there's been some research about what others do, other transportation organizations. I believe it's on our agenda for our full meeting. And I wouldn't be surprised if there aren't portions that are parceled out to the various subcommittees, like the safety issues to the safety committee, but there's nothing yet to the subcommittees.
Okay.
But well, I think there's a lot of interest.
I'm just happy to hear it's still on the radar, so thank you, ladies.
Okay, and I also will add that when we have our next full committee meeting, if it's not on the agenda, the committee will make a recommendation that we work on that.
Excellent,
very
thank
soon.
You.
Thanks.
This side of the table, we have to keep our mics off all the time because we're dropping things.
Okay, are there any other comments from the public? Great. Well, we'll move on with the agenda. Next, we'll have a staff update on the customer complaint process. So it's Mr. Brett Tyler, Director, Office of Customer Service, Metro. Thanks so much for coming today. We really appreciate you taking the time out to meet with us.
Push the button in the middle.
Okay. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm Brett Tyler, Director of Customer Service for Metro. For those that don't know, we're located in Prince George's Plaza, and we have three main activities. One is what we refer to as our call center, which takes informational calls from the public. We also have our lost and found office located there, and they do exactly what they say. And the third section is why we're here this evening, and that's what to talk about our customer relations department and our processes for handling customer comments. I think we're averaging now about 90,000 what we call customer contacts each year. with two-thirds of those coming by telephone and one-third coming in by primarily by comment cards. I don't like to pat myself on the back, but we have made substantial progress in our responsiveness to customers. I'm not saying that all is perfect, but we have made substantial progress in the last year or so in our responsiveness to customers. Part of that reason is we restructured our organization and we brought in some new people, and sitting to my right is one of those new people, and that's Mr. Jeremy Franklin, who is our manager of our call center operations. And I've done this presentation in the past. I thought I would have Jeremy do it this evening. And it's a brief presentation, but afterwards we'll be more than happy to respond to any questions you have.
Thank you. My name is Jeremy Franklin, and I'm the operations manager at the call center. I just want to talk a little bit about our contact process today. So all of our complaints, commendations, and suggestions that come into us are logged in a particular system that we use for tracking and reporting. And they all comments and suggestions and complaints all receive an initial acknowledgement either via the telephone or via email. And then based on the severity or the customer's request or the issue type, we then determine whether or not further follow-up is needed, or particularly if we need additional information from the customer. Where possible, we like to resolve all the contacts at the first point of contact. So when the customer first calls or emails us, we have various tools at our disposal to investigate the various complaint types that we get around bus and rail. And if we're able to research and find the information to resolve the complaint on the phone live with the customer, then we will do so and then just close that complaint out for tracking purposes. But in those instances where additional research is needed or we need input from the divisions, then that is routed in through our tracking system. We get that feedback from the division. They send it back to us, and then we go on and we communicate that back to the customer and make sure that everything is resolved to their satisfaction. The exception to that process is Metro Access, who handle that process end-to-end after we've taken the complaint. They handle the customer contact on their end after they've resolved the issue and done the investigation. But the first contact resolution still applies to Metro Access. Where we're able to resolve those at the initial point of contact, we do so.
I'm having trouble hearing you, but I don't, is he coming through? Can we tell the sound? Yeah.
Is that better? Okay. Sorry about that. Did you want me to repeat any of that?
No. Yes, every word.
And this is just a slide to show the distribution of our complaints through the first quarter of this year. So you can see that 47% of our complaints have come in have been about various service issues. That could be buses running late, delays on the rail, items like that. Bus didn't show up. There's a lot of things that fall into that complaint category. Employee complaints, 7%, and employee commendations make up 6% of the contact that we receive. Safety, another 5%, and those in particular, there's a special process in place that when we log a complaint that is classed as a safety issue, email shoots out to various other people automatically without any other further action from our parts to notify the resolution group that there's been a safety concern so that they can act on that more quickly rather than waiting on us to route it to them. So that goes out to a distribution list. They don't have to go into the system and see that they have something waiting in their queue. They get an email to notify them of it. And then other comments make up the other 29% of the distribution that we have. And that's, you know, all of those are various things that we get. You know, it could be the lights are out at a station, things like that, but there's not enough of them to classify a category like I put up here. And then the last slide is just a demonstration of the performance that Brett was talking about, how we've improved over the last year. The blue line is our telephone call performance, and you can see that's held steady at above 80% of our calls answered within our service level. The big improvement has come in our electronic correspondence is what we refer to it as, but that's emails or comments that are submitted via the website using the web form. We started out at around 50% of those responded to within 5 business days, and in the last few months we've gotten that up over 90%, and that's our new service level, that's our expectation now, and that's where we'll be holding at moving forward. It's 90% of those responded to within the 5 business days. And that is our presentation, so we're happy to take any questions or...
Okay, do we have any questions or comments from the public? Okay, great, if you could come up. And if you could state your name.
Yes, my name is Kurt Rashke. Two questions, or at least I hope the RAC will permit me two questions, and John, I'll try and get these in as quickly as I can. It seems like one of the areas that becomes sort of a real pain point for the riding public is when they have an issue that requires sort of a more real-time resolution. You know, if you're in a station where there's sort of an urgent situation occurring, or if you're waiting for a bus, you know, a five business day resolution doesn't necessarily help. You know, I'm wondering if you can speak to what people can do when they have, you know, specifically a service problem that's, you know, sort of really affecting them imminently, but not necessarily something they would say, for example, call the police about, but just something where, you know, somebody who's, you know, a service manager or a bus dispatcher, somebody needs to get involved sort of immediately to look at the situation as it's occurring. And then related to electronic communication, the pattern at a number of other transit authorities is increasingly to have call center operators also participate on social media like Twitter, for example, whereas here at WMATA, the Twitter presence and Facebook is managed by communications, and then there's sort of a somewhat awkward handoff where if a report comes in through Twitter, then the people who operate the Twitter account in communications say, well, please go make a report on the web form, and so there's a tendency for things to sort of get lost in that gap there in between the two.
So the first question around how you can get immediate assistance, I'll respond in two parts. First, if you're in a rail station, then my suggestion would be that you speak to the station manager. They're in the best capacity there to help you immediately. For issues on bus, you know, if there's a problem going on right then and you want to know what's going on, not necessarily that they can resolve it, but our customer information department, the trip planning or other information department, they have access to a lot of different things that they can do to find out, you know, if you're trying to find out why a bus is running late or why it's not arrived yet or something along those lines, they have various tools. They also have contact with the central control groups that they can call and find out if there's something in particular going on. So that would be my suggestions in those two instances. Customer information would be a good place to get help in those instances.
If I could just follow up on that. You're absolutely correct. One of the things that we've witnessed in the call center is a drop-off in our call volume because so many people now are using social media. Today, most of the responses to social media inquiries are done by our media relations department, and they are the ones who originate a lot of the mobile phone and e-alert broadcasts, and they're the ones who respond to Twitter and other input we get. What's happened over time is our call center has become the place where people talk about what happened, and social media has become the means by where people talk about what's going on right now. One of the things that we're looking at, we're planning a presentation to senior management, is how we can better bring those two together in the call center so that the personnel in the call center will have the capacity to respond either way.
Thank you. Kurt, did that answer your question?
Yeah,
okay, great. All right, Chris, you had comments?
Hi, thank you for the presentation. I noticed that the second largest category of your contacts are other comments. I was wondering if you could speak as to what that is. That's a rather large block of your,
The 29%.
Right.
Yes.
It's a lot of calls or contacts.
Yes. It is. And what I mentioned earlier, that's going to be things like, you know, the lights may be out in the station. You know, there's maybe a sign missing off of a post. There, we get a lot of contacts that are outside of service issues, but there's not enough of each type to categorize them. So if I put up here, you know, calls about lights in a station, it probably wouldn't even turn up to a tenth of a percent. But when you take those globally, they come up to a lot larger percentage. So that is, if it's not a service issue, meaning, you know, something happened to the bus that was supposed to run or the train that was supposed to run, mm-hmm. or it's not an complaining about an employee, it's probably falling into that other category.
Okay.
And just to give examples, it could be there's trash behind the escalator. The lights are out.
Okay.
I find your the font that you're using and your signs is difficult to read.
Okay.
And as Jeremy said, it's just hard to categorize them.
And my second question is more along the lines of how do you work with other agencies? I can imagine a lot of your calls are about damaged bus stops in D.C., which WMATA doesn't fix. How do you work with other agencies on outside factors like that?
Okay. So in those instances, our group doesn't necessarily interact directly. We have an internal group within WMATA that does that. So we route that complaint through our internal tracking system to that what we would call a resolver group. It's basically who can fix it within WMATA. So, you know, if you get that call that says there's a problem with a signpost, we would route it to that group. They then interact directly with the jurisdiction to get that resolved, feedback to us once that's complete, and then we take that resolution back to the customer. So we just act as the pass-through for that, for lack of a better term. But
in our database, we have all the contact information for who's who at the various jurisdictions. And sometimes we can resolve it through those contacts. Probably more frequently, we will tell the customer, contact John Smith at this phone number in Arlington County.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you.
Certainly.
Great. Thanks so much. Any other comments? Absolutely. If you could state your name, that would be great.
My name is Norma Vasquez. I've been riding Metrobus and Metrorail for 20 years now. I have a comment about the section that says further correspondence and feedback to the customer is determined based on issue type, severity, and customer request. I think for every time we submit a request online and we get a ticket number, we should be contacted back when the ticket is resolved, because that way we know that it's done. I've contacted them through Twitter at least twice, and they told me to contact the
call center
to fill out online complaint online. So I've done that. I've gotten a ticket number back, and in this case, it was always for broken ferry gates. They told me, well, we don't have the parts for the ferry gates. We have to make them because they're old. So after the 3 months they take to fix them, I noticed it's fixed, and then I contact them back saying, hey, they've been fixed, you can close the ticket. But it should come from them, like, yeah, we finished this, thank you for contacting us, this case is closed. Usually I'm the one who has to tell them, it's been fixed, you can close the ticket. So I think whenever a case is resolved, we should be contacted back and told that.
I would agree with that. And then, you know, I can't speak to specific cases, of course, because I don't have the information with me right now. But you're correct. Anytime something requires a higher level of investigation or if there's some action that's required on our part to resolve it, then we do need to get back to the customer, and that's the expectation. We do get a certain level of communication from customers where they're not necessarily looking for any additional action. They just wanted to let us know that something had happened. You know, get an email that says, my bus was two minutes late today. Okay. That's a little different than my bus has been 10 minutes late every day this week. You know, so that's when we talk about severity and whether or not the customer requests any feedback. Because if you send us an email saying my bus was 2 minutes late today and I want you to get back to me and tell me what happened, we're going to get back to you and tell you what happened. But if you don't, if you're just submitting that just to let us know that something happened, because we do get a certain level of communication that is just, hey, FYI, I wanted to let you know this happened.
Great, thank you. Any other comments from the public? Okay, well, I'll open it up for the members here. Barbara?
Oh, sure. Just tell me, though, when somebody else deserves a turn. Thank you for being here. I have actually several questions. This is a great overview of, you know, the magnitude. I didn't know what the numbers were, or I was surprised about the call center versus the comment form, the ratio. That's very interesting. I have questions. You know, I also noticed the whole, you know, the number two category is other, which is kind of unusual when you are seeing statistics reported. And the examples you gave were pretty much like facilities type things. And I think you said something, well, that's not customer service. But is the form intended just for
customer service things? I mean, I think of that as a, it says, doesn't it say customer comment form, and that's a comment? And
sorry, I may have misspoke. I didn't mean customer service. I meant service, as in a train running or a bus running is what I meant by that. Sorry, not customer service. So, yes, it's all customer service.
Oh, you
service.
Might have said service.
Yeah, I meant more in terms of the actual service, the bus or the train delivering people to a location is what I mean by service complaints there. You're correct. That is a large category, and we do have that detail. So, I mean, I could provide additional detail on that category if it's needed.
It may not, yeah, even though it may not be in your jurisdiction, you know, it's just yeah. Maybe that it's interesting to know, well, 10 of them or 10% or whatever are facilities oriented or equipment or whatever it is. But
okay.
That's, it's not a big deal. I know there's a lot more. Somebody else? You said a lot really fast, and I don't think I really absorbed all of it. When you talked about your service level and 95%, was it 95% got a response, you said? Or no, 95, what was that number?
On the emails, it's 90% responded to within 5 business days.
Does that, if there's just an email acknowledgement that we got it, is that considered a response?
No, by response we mean the full response, that we've okay. either escalated the issue further or that we've resolved it for you. So the automatic acknowledgement is not that response, no.
Okay, and that's, but that doesn't count the ones, like you said, that are like my bus was 2 minutes late yesterday or right. or 10 minutes late or whatever. It's not those.
Correct.
Yeah, it's of those that you've, that a response makes sense.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay. Somebody else gets a turn while I formulate my thoughts.
Yeah, my question is, in here, when it says complaints requiring additional investigation are routed to the appropriate area, I understand that, but when they are routed, do you give them, we need a response within X amount of time? Because, you know, they can investigate for 3-6 months, you know, that's, you know, if you leave it too open-ended, it could get into another black hole.
We don't leave it open-ended, and I'll be absolutely candid with you. We have standards. We have a system that when it sends the inquiry to you, it might say, please get back to us in 3 days. I'm using that as an example. Mm-hmm. And it has an alert system built in to alert us if you haven't responded in 3 days. I think that those kind of approaches have helped us to improve substantially. Sometimes we miss the boat. Sometimes the investigation for good cause takes longer than we would like for it to. One famous example is we see a pattern with perhaps a bus operator. We will have management follow it up to find out that he's on vacation and there are other extenuating factors. So the short answer is no, it's not open-ended at all. There are time limits. I think we do a much better job than we used to, but we don't always miss our hit our targets.
And you follow up if they have
yes,
met their target.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Hi, thank you for being here. I guess my question is going to be of a very selfish nature. The reason I even applied to be a member on this council is because I'm a Blue Ride. Blue Line rider, and I get on at Franconia in the mornings. The trains do not have signage on them, so you're guessing whether it's a Yellow Line Rush Plus or whether it's a Blue Line. So I've called the customer call line numerous times, and this is since Rush Plus began, which is June 2012 or something like that. Still problems. Some days it's working, some days it's not. Sometimes they have Metro staff down there standing on that side, you know, pointing mm-hmm. to which train is what train and when it's going out, which one is going out first. It sounds like it's a really simple, you know, remedy to this. I don't understand what the problem is. So because you're here today, I'm asking, you know, what happens to those complaints from Blue Line riders about this one little issue, signage on the train? You know, they're not on when there's idle, you know, waiting. And it just doesn't make sense to me. If there's a valid explanation for it, we'd love to know what it is. But just putting your calls in and nothing ever happening, frustration every morning, you know, I'm just not sure what's going on. So if you could help us out with that, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Again, I can't speak to anything specific because I need to go back and do some research on it. I can tell you that you're not the only person that I've heard that complaint from. So I would like the opportunity to go back and see what may have happened or what resolution the rail people may have provided to us for that issue, because we would have routed it to them for resolution and, you know, waited for them to come back to us and tell us what they were going to do about it. So I can leave my contact information with John, and then if you just want to send me an email, then I can get back to you on it.
As Jeremy indicated, we've heard this more than once. In fact, I recently helped prepare a response over our general manager's signature, and it was a rather complex explanation that I can't recall, but we will get back to John with the information.
The two compliments and two concerns. I lost my keys. I went out to the lost and found office. I didn't find my keys, but the people were very nice. The person was very nice. And it's a customer-friendly operation. I have to commend you on that. I will also say that I definitely have observed an improvement in customer response. I complained about something. I don't remember what it was. But what was impressive is that I got an email. But I complained through the email system. I got a response back. And then I got a call from somebody saying, and if this doesn't result, if you want to talk further, give me a call. And I was really kind of stunned by that. So, and it wasn't a particularly complex issue. My two concerns are this. When we had the call center's hours were reduced, I think that staff was laid off maybe about 2 or 3 years ago. And I know I found myself one night actually coming from a metro hearing, not knowing, in a sort of a neighborhood I wasn't familiar with, coming from a strange neighborhood. And when I called, of course, nobody was at home. So what do people do when it's after the call center hours and you have a kind of an immediate problem?
We have several self-help tools that are available. The telephone system that you call does have a self-service trip planning software built into it that you can use after hours. The website as well you can use. But if you like to use the telephone, then I would suggest the self-service trip planning software that is available.
But this was a situation where I have a small, where what I was being told by next bus or what I was trying to find out, I needed a live human being to answer, because I didn't know where they were talking about that. I was trying to find the nearest bus stop to go back home or something like that. So basically what you're saying is once the call center closes, there are no live human beings, so I have to either use some automated system is what you're saying.
Correct.
Okay. And then my last comment or concern is this. I see a number of people telling the station managers, complaining about something to the station managers. Is there any process by which the station managers write down things and send them on to your office? Or what happens when a customer complains to a station manager? What happens to those complaints? Do they come into you in any way from the station manager?
If it's only to the station manager, then at right now, no. That's not coming back to our office. If the station manager gives the customer a comment card and they fill that out and drop it into the post, then that will, of course, come to us. But right now, there's not a feedback process from the station managers to our office. But that's actually a good suggestion. I think Brett and I will talk more about that.
Okay, because, I mean, a lot of people, you know, I mean, the whole idea of the station manager, you see this kiosk, so it sort of gives the impression that it's sort of a one-stop shopping and you should be able to talk to that manager and something should happen. And depending on the severity of the situation, I don't think handing somebody a comment card is quite the best customer service. I mean,
I agree with you. The customer practices, as Jeremy described, and I think our station managers have been instructed and are accustomed to saying, here's how you can contact our office. There's no formal procedure. Station manager to our office, it's station manager to his supervision to our office, with a few exceptions. There are some station managers who are savvy enough and been around enough that they know who to call to get some action. But as a general practice, it's an area we need to focus on.
Thank you.
I have two quick questions, just to sort of piggyback off of what Carol just said, because I know the station managers have basically a wide umbrella of what they're supposed to be responsible for. So I know that we're moving more towards, as you said earlier, like electronic submissions and things like that, and you're trying to figure out how to meld the both of them. Were you thinking maybe about putting like a kiosk or something there that people could just walk up to if they have a complaint, and that's an easier way to maybe get it to you instead of having to even involve like the station manager, because they're already doing maybe 10, 20 other things. And if you just have a kiosk for people, that would eliminate the paper, that would eliminate things being lost.
So you could just come up and type in.
Yeah. It would make things maybe a little bit easier. And I don't know how feasible that is and how quickly that would be available, but that might resolve a lot of the issues that you would have with customer issues in the station.
I have a horrible memory, but I'm going to try. I think that suggestion was made from this very committee several years ago. At the time, there were issues with electrical power and communication lines. I think some of those have been lessened, and it's something that we might be able to take a second look at.
Okay, because now we have the LCD screens.
Right.
I'm assuming since
exactly.
we have that, we might be able to.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, and so I know that earlier you also talked about sort of melding the two, like the electronic and the customer care. How many people, like this says there are 14 consumer representatives in the customer relations department.
Yes.
Is this then, you may have already explained this, and I'm sorry for being late, but is there a separate number of people in the, like for Twitter and all that other stuff?
Believe it or not, some of you may have met him. There's primarily one person, Brian Anderson, who doesn't sleep, doesn't eat.
just
responds to social media. Don't write this down, but I think
24/7 right here.
I think we are now equal to or just behind New York City Transit in the number of social media contacts that we're doing, and we just started promoting it and using it 14, 15 months ago. So, and that's primarily with just Brian handling them. He works in media relations. And so it is the wave of the future. We are, as I mentioned earlier, we're trying to get better equipped and have some capacity to integrate what our customers are telling us on social media with what we know they're telling us through the channels that we described.
Because there's a way to, I would assume, and I don't know like how much training it would take for the people that you already have, but I'm assuming that you're also thinking about sort of looping in the phone lines to all of this electronic. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm ready now.
Uh-oh.
One of the driving forces for why we asked you here tonight was because, you know, we are representatives of the writers. And you get 90,000 writers to tell you things every year, it sounds like. 90,000 comments by writers, not 90,000 different writers, maybe. But so we understand the big picture numbers. What information is available to you and could possibly be available to us and or the public? I know those are different answers, you know, but on a finer breakdown, like comments on whether it's by topic, rail versus bus, or specific rail lines, or specific buses, or by topic, you know, that sort of thing. What kind of, do you have breakdowns within that, I hope you do, that you know, that you can share with us, and we can use to educate us on what, not just our own experiences and the people in our own inner circles, but what the writers at large are saying to you?
Yes. The quick answer is yes. So the tracking system that we use tracks things in multiple different ways. So we can track it by rail line, by station. We can cut and slice the data in any number of ways. And I believe If I'm not mistaken, there are currently about 60 different complaint types that we can. That we could log, and we can track on any one of those. So you know, I could easily pull a report for a quarter and tell you, you know, how many complaints we got on, you know, the red line, or how many complaints we got about rude and discourteous station managers. You know, all that stuff is easily available, and the data can be manipulated that way.
So you can. And is that something that, through the right channels, we can get our hands on?
I think right channels is the key word.
you tell us what those channels are.
Well, I think it's essentially the lady that we work for. I don't know if you've met Lynn Barisox.
Okay.
And she's pretty progressive and open-minded person. But as Jeremy indicated, we have quite a bit of slicing and dicing capability that we use internally with our line management. Our general manager receives a composite report every quarter that gives him a reflection of what customers are saying to us through our survey data, what they're saying to us through our comment data, our complaint data, and what's the third category, survey, comments.
Maybe focus groups.
Three channels, but he gets a combined. Our general manager. Our general manager receives that. Mystery rider. It's mystery rider, customer comments, and research data. Whether or not and in what form that is released to the public or to the RAC is something that I don't think there'd be objection to, but we can't.
Certainly, yeah, we're not in the business of trying to do managers' jobs. We're trying just to understand what are the hot points, what can we learn? I mean, we don't know what we will learn until we see it. And I think there's a wealth of information there that we would love to be able to tap, since you are already collecting it. And we had recently a listening session where we went to Alexandria, and it was very successful in that we got some good feedback. But it wasn't 90,000 people. It was, you know, more like a 10. And anything we can do, I would like to, we can work through John and John through Lynn. Is that how it works? Is that the right way? Got it.
Good path.
And also the trends, and because I think you probably wouldn't be surprised to hear that the blue line people, which a few of us here represent, are concerned about what's been happening in the last year and what's going to happen in the coming several months to us. And so just even understanding what kind of trends there are, whether it's just what kinds of things, you know, what are you hearing about, so we don't have to rely on anecdotes.
Understood.
About, you know, so that would be wonderful. What else? That's it. We've also taken a lot of the time, so I think those are my questions. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And I have a couple of questions as well. From a statistics and data standpoint, what information is already publicly available?
Yeah.
When it comes to the data or statistics as it relates to the customer complaints, is that something that's reported somewhere on your website? Are there any studies?
I'm embarrassed. I'm not aware of any regular publication or where that data can be easily accessed. John, can you help me?
I'm looking on our vital signs report right now, and I'm just trying to find
is.
On the website. I'm just trying to find
I think
things that would. There's a customer satisfaction measure.
Yes. Thank you.
I should probably speak with the mic.
Yeah, practice what you preach.
There is a customer satisfaction measure on the front page of the Vital Signs report, but let me just pull up the.
Well, while you're looking for that, John, I do have a second question. The impetus for asking you to come here today is that we have a proposal that we're working on that's basically asking this committee to provide more detailed analysis of customer complaints received by Metro. So I wanted to know, what does that mean to you, and what are your thoughts on us looking at that issue?
I would see us, this office, as a shop that could work with you in categorizing what you wanted to report and providing some trend data and actual data to do that. Is that responsive to your question, or do you
to
need?
To a degree.
Okay,
I'm
tell
more
me.
Looking for your challenges. What's the problem in that area? What are challenges that you're facing that you're not able to address? What are you hearing from the public in this particular area?
In all candor, and I don't mean it all to sound defensive, the patterns that we see are very broad patterns. Mm-hmm. You have to remember, as a percentage of our ridership, our complaints are minuscule. That doesn't matter. It's a fact, but it doesn't matter. We strive to reduce it even further. But they are generally about service delivery. I'm speaking loosely, not necessarily in those categories, but such issues as my bus is late, I waited too long for the blue line, my Metro access band doesn't go on a direct route. It serves three or four other people in a circuitous manner, and I want to go from point A to B. The other pattern that we see, unfortunately, is things that we can control and have been controlling, and I think that has to do with human behavior and the level of service that is provided to our customers. So I think when I think about where we are, we provide a very high level of service, but the complaints that we hear, speaking very broadly, are in those two categories. My bus was late. Why are my headways so long? And I'm speaking loosely, but I'm calling that at this moment service delivery. Mm-hmm. Jeremy?
I would agree with that. I don't have anything to add to that.
Okay. And my other question is, could you put some numbers to these percentages on the customer contact distribution slide? So this is quarter one of 2013. So 29% of the quarter one customer contacts or other comments, exactly what does that mean? Is that 100? Is that 1,000? Could you just put that into context?
So total complaints for that quarter, I'm going to have to add these up in my head a little bit because I've got
okay.
them by
just at a very high level. I'm just curious to know the degree to which the complaints.
Looking 90, at about, 000, sorry,
90,000 was for the year, right?
That's for a year. So
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So
this total period looks a little over 10,000-12,000. So if you're looking at 30% of that,
okay.
Looking at about 4,000 complaints.
Okay, great.
If you like, we can generate that data, yeah. And we'll get it to John.
Okay, and we're keeping a running list of,
right.
of what
we're
well, going
we,
to
we can populate
from your
this with numbers
okay, great.
And get it to John.
Excellent.
We have, they show the customer comment rate, and let's see if the graph is there. Both the, we have a target for both the customer accommodation rate per million passengers, with a target of greater than 10.8 per million passengers, and then a target of less than 125 complaints per million passengers carried. And that's on the website under scorecard. And that's updated, I think, quarterly.
John, does that go to the board quarterly or monthly? I don't recall.
Quarterly, I believe. Vital signs is quarterly. And this is the, right, that's the first quarter results for 2015.
Better Bus is the investment in reducing crowding on select. It's basically the service improvements that's sort of the tagline they're using for the service improvements on buses that sort of enhance capacity on, you know, high ridership routes and right, those kind of things. We're putting more money into bus operations, and that's Better Bus.
Okay, and I know that we've gone over the time allotted for this, but I wanted to at least give the public an opportunity to comment.
Sure.
So do you have time?
Yes.
Okay, great. So we have another comment? Okay.
I just have a quick question. Thank you for all the information on how you handle complaints, and I guess my question is, what tools do you have to resolve complaints to customer satisfaction, and specifically as a follow-up, what is your refund policy currently?
So the tools that we have available to us, we use our customer relationship management tool. We have something that we call a bus verifier, which is it allows us to see, you know, kind of the route of the bus, if there were any problems, the times of each of the stops. And, you know, there are various other tools. Next Bus we also use as well, kind of in the same manner. We have an admin access to the back end of it that we can use to see. So that's the type of stuff I'm talking about, that we can kind of investigate and see if we can find out what happened without having to escalate the call. So that's the tools that we currently use. As far as the refund policy is concerned, and Brett, correct me if I'm wrong, we are prohibited from providing refunds due to certain issues, which include the mechanical and the delays. But in various instances, we do offer, as an alternative, free ride coupons to compensate people, though we cannot provide refunds.
The Metro tariff prohibits refunds to anyone who lives within a 100-mile radius of downtown D.C. But as Jeremy has said, all recording stops now.
You're on.
as Jeremy has said, we do provide free ride coupons, and we're fairly liberal in providing those.
That's a fair response. Thank you.
Great, but thanks so much. We really appreciate
sure.
you coming out. Do we have any other comments from the public? Okay. You can come up and state your name. That would be great.
Hi, I'm Tracy Chimier. Thank you for coming out.
Sure.
I do have one question, but before that, I wanted to support what the other speakers said earlier about improving social media presence. It's a huge thing
yes.
to customer service on Twitter, and also responding to old complaints and service issues. I had a thing with DC Department of Transportation about putting up a sign. We requested 7 months later, they responded back and said, hey, we did it. So by then, obviously, we've forgotten about it, but it's nice to
hear.
So I think it depends on the level of information that's provided. Yeah. So, you know, if you provide a very specific time and a station, then somebody will be able to go back and find out who that person was. You know, if you just, you know, if you send in and say on Sunday, somebody was nice to me at Fort Totten, then you're probably not going to be able to figure out who that was. But yeah, we do make every effort, or at least the divisions do once we send it to them, to try to find out who it is responsible for either the accommodation or the complaint, if possible, from the information given.
If the information is very specific, obviously it's very easy to respond. We do go to extraordinary lengths. We'll say, okay, this customer said they were standing at this corner at 4:35. What bus would that have been? We'll go to bus and say, you know, we've got a complaint or a commendation. And it just depends on the level of detail. Whenever we can track it, it's recorded, and the employee is dealt with or complimented if it's in order.
Or even if we can't figure out who it is, it's still tracked as a complaint or recommendation. It may not get delivered to a specific person, but it's still in the system and it's still going to show up in those charts because it has been received regardless if we know who it was. Somebody had a bad experience or a good experience, so it's a commendation or a complaint. It gets tracked in the system.
In addition, just once, I was told, if possible, then as it pertains to buses, to get in addition to the bus route and the time to get the bus number, and that would be easier to identify the person.
Absolutely correct.
Yes, ma'am. The bus number, we live by the bus number. Yeah. But if you don't have it, we do have ways to try and find it. So, you know, we'll do all we can.
You don't have the number or
the bus number.
Vehicle number.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, we'll move on to the next agenda item, and it's O Business. It's the final work plan. So it's in your package. At our last meeting, we agreed to work on 9 proposals for the year. So I just wanted to provide it to everyone and give you another opportunity to look at the list. There are several proposals where we need a member to serve as the lead. So this is your opportunity to volunteer as well.
I guess I can work on the diverse ridership.
Okay, anyone else?
I'm not necessarily volunteering, but I think the secondary ones, we talked about maybe doing those. They were smaller, and we could do them as a group, I think.
And I think that's possible as well, but I think you still need someone to lead that particular initiative.
Remind me about what was 7?
Okay, courtesy communications, I believe. Let's see.
I think that was Lynn's thing about how do we get people to be courteous, but I'm not positive.
You're right.
Right. It's advise WMATA on the best way to approach courtesy communications, addressing the systematic cost of customer behavior without sounding preachy. So that's one of our secondary proposals that we're going to look at.
I'll take the tools and mobile apps feedback one.
Okay, that I have the lead on that.
Oh, one, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Right, it's fine. Right. Absolutely, that'd be great. Thank you. Okay, excellent. Thank you. Okay, so, right, we have another one open. Pat, did you want to?
Okay, that's how Metro make customers aware about coming traffic.
Right.
That's always up there. Okay.
Excellent. Great. Okay, great. So I think we can move on. We will consider this list of proposals final, and I will present it at our next full meeting, or at least put it in the package for our full meeting. I don't think a debate or anything is required at this time. Does anyone from the public have any comments on our work plan proposals for the year? Okay, great. Okay, we'll move on. At our last meeting, we discussed the policy of public comments at RAC meetings, and there is a formal policy, and it's dated October 2012, and within the policy, there's a requirement that the membership and the public as a whole update this plan every 6 months. So my recommendation is that we recommend to the full board at our next meeting that we open up this policy for comments. Does anyone else have any comments?
Is that in the packet that we got tonight?
No.
No.
You're looking to put it on the agenda to discuss at the next meeting?
Not necessarily to discuss, but I just think that it's time to actually review that policy.
Well, if it says every 6 months, then it was.
Yeah, I didn't remember that.
Yeah. So April is when it's due. So it's just to keep it on our radar for the most part. And it's sort of a communications issue, which is why it was presented from this particular committee. So we have comments from the public.
About comments from the public. What's your comment on your comments?
Yeah, having been attending RAC meetings for 2 and some odd years now, I mean, it's good that we finally gotten to the point where we are today. And I mean, I know you have to do this because the policy that was passed said so, but the policy that was passed at the time said that because there were some members on the RAC 6 months ago who were considerably more hesitant about the notion of public comment, despite the fact that it's written into your bylaws. So if I may make a gentle suggestion, I would say that, you know, if you take this to the full RAC as sort of the recommendation that, well, everything seems to be moving smoothly, and maybe, you know, because this was sort of originally pitched as a pilot, so maybe you say, okay, we made it through 6 months, let's try and give it a year, or let's try and give it 2 years, or let's just try and let it run until there's a problem, because really it's been pretty smooth. I mean, there were some bumps in the first month or two, getting, you know, various people who were chairing meetings to remember that they did have to solicit comment in the middle of the meeting. Aside from that, I've yet to see any riots break out. I've yet to see anyone need to be removed. I've yet to see anyone disrupt the meeting. I know there was a bit of a kerfuffle about whether or not staff could speak directly to riders and vice versa. And, you know, honestly, if staff are uncomfortable taking questions directly from riders, then that's a staff thing. And that doesn't necessarily bear on the RAC. That's because, you know, riders can still speak to the RAC in the middle of the meeting. If that's something where staff are uncomfortable, then fine. I know, I mean, Chris and I are certainly comfortable forming our remarks to staff in the form of a statement. And then a RAC member can say, you know, okay, and then just restate it as a question. I mean, if we have to go through that sort of circuitous mechanism because staff feel that way, that's absolutely fine. I do understand where they're coming from. If they come to present to the RAC and they get hit with random questions from the public, it could be compromising for them. And if that's a thing they have to deal with, so be it.
Okay, great. Thanks for your comment.
I know it's so rare that I compliment you, so I want to make sure you understand this is a compliment. I know. Wait for it. A year ago, I would go home from RAC meetings with a bleeding tongue, and I would say, you guys have done an amazing job turning that around. Kurt and I know, are not the easiest to put up with at times, but I think us and the other members of the public that show up provide valid insight, hopefully, to the conversation at hand. And I just want to say I appreciate the efforts you've made. It's just been night and day between last year and this year. So whatever you propose, I say keep it up. Thank you.
May I comment on the public comment?
Absolutely.
Thank you. You guys are, I think, a tremendous asset to this group and provide insight and the point of view. You bring up points. It doesn't mean we always agree, you know, but I mean, you bring up points that I didn't think of or I don't know. I mean, you know things from your experience with the media, with the social media. And Kurt, you must spend an awful lot of time reading about what other places are doing. And I think of it as just one more part of the partnership. Thank you.
First of all, what she said.
I'm going to tear up here.
But I would make one suggestion, and I have the advantage of having the public. I would like to suggest two things, and I think it would be appropriate coming from this committee, that we explicitly say that this policy or process is to be used at the standing committees, because it's not in here, because this predates the standing committees. And that secondly, that this be posted on our RAC website along with our bylaws, because it's not posted anywhere. I basically, this iteration, I actually extracted from minutes. So it never did, it never has had an official residence, if you will, as a standalone document. So those are the two things that I would like to propose that this committee propose to the full RAC, and I'd be, period.
Great, thanks. So we'll go ahead and move on to the next item. At our last meeting, we discussed the smart trip glitches, and we asked for an update on Metro's study of the new electronic payment program. So we'll just have to table this item for the next meeting. We haven't gotten that information yet. Okay, so we'll move on to the next item. And my intention was to have a proposal for the group to review on Metro's Web 2s and mobile apps. We were asked, let's see, by Metro to provide feedback on their tools and mobile apps. And I'm not quite sure what that means. I wanted more info from Metro on exactly what they're looking for, but I also wanted to get feedback from the public as well on what does that mean to you. So I think the first thing I would like to do is just open that up to the public.
Does all the stuff with data. So I'm just going to reiterate for the record the point that I made last week, which is that the only thing that WMATA actually operates is anything that's on WMATA.com. Anything you find in an app store is not from WMATA. The data is, though, and that's where we run into some serious problems. WMATA's data sets are pretty dirty in some places. And I've actually talked to app developers who've built apps for other cities, New York, Chicago, Boston, et cetera, and they email me and they're tearing their hair out and they say, is there something I'm missing here? And I say, no, this is the data we get. And then a few weeks later I find that they're just not going to launch their app in DC because it's too much trouble. So I would say obviously look at the new mobile site because that's getting mixed reviews. If you pull up WMATA.com on a smartphone, you'll get the new mobile site. WMATA's very excited about it. I won't, prejudice your perspective on it, take a look for yourself. But yeah, there's some pretty serious data problems. The good news is they're working on fixing them. I worked with a number of other developers to put together a list of data issues and things that we wanted for WMATA to look at. And my understanding is that they now have a weekly roundtable where they're bringing people together from throughout the agency to look at resolving those problems, because part of the issue is that, various parts of the data come from different parts of the agency, and so they're now trying to sort of get everyone on the same page and fix the issues. I guess I concur with what you opened with, which is sort of push back on that and find out what specifically. Because I assume that they mean more web tools versus mobile apps, because WMATA doesn't have any apps per se. They do have the mobile website, so if they want feedback on that, that's obviously one thing you can definitely give them. But in fact, people have been giving them app feedback, and it sort of agitates them because they're not responsible for the apps, and they get tired of getting complaints about apps because they didn't build them.
Okay, and just a quick question. You mentioned that you provided a list of data issues to WMATA.
Yeah.
Is that something you can share?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
If you can send that to John,
yeah,
that
I can
be
pass
great.
The link along to John, yeah.
Okay. Carol?
Hold up. Please. On the theory that no question is stupid. Okay, I hope you all
absolutely.
Will accept that in the spirit in which it's given. I'm not quite a Luddite. But here's my question,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and I give you, like I give my kids, my adult children, permission to laugh at me. why do we need apps, mobile apps that are not, well, give me an example of a mobile app that would be useful or is useful to WMATA.
Well, you don't necessarily. You can go to
NextBus.
You can go to NextBus.com on your phone. Yeah. There is no app to download for that. So, so that's the thing. Is I guess to sort of lay that groundwork. I mean, we're talking about sort of a couple of levels of service here. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you want basic service information, you can go to WMATA.com on your phone, mm-hmm. just in the browser, and they will send you to the NextBus mobile site. You don't need to download an app, mm-hmm. and it all works. You mm-hmm. can get the next train information. You can get to the trip planner. You know, all that basic functionality is there.
Okay.
The issue is that various people like to get their transit information in various ways. And I can't speak to that in too much detail because it's sort of a personal preference. I don't really understand exactly what goes into it, but different people like their transit information to look different ways, or they get different features, and so that's where the apps come in, is that there are people who want that sort of value add, and it's not a requirement.
So
you can get
so are you saying that, let's say, instead of me going to NextBus, maybe like where I live, I have lots of transportation options, I could get some an app that would show me I can get here via the number 80. I can go to the Kennedy Center via the number 80, via Metro Rail, and transfer to the shuttle. Is that what you're sort of saying? It basically does things that you can't currently do that would be useful to
me. Yeah, I mean, some of the apps bring in schedules from some of the other agencies.
Like Ride On?
Right.
Okay.
And some of them, I should point out also, some of them are just a little slicker. I mean, some of it's just that the app developer has put, now, again, I mean, if you're waiting for the bus by the side of the road and it's dark and it's raining, you probably don't care about the graphics. You probably care about when the bus is coming.
Mm-hmm.
But some people are very concerned that a developer has really labored over exactly what font to use.
And
no, I mean, yeah. I mean, Chris last, but I mean, that some people, when they review these apps, they seem to be most interested in what font they used or which bus icon they have on the screen, and it can get a little petty. But yeah, it's basically all the same transit data.
So the money is to be had. So the revenue is to be had by people going and purchasing these apps, which basically take data that's available from Metro and display it or churn it up in a
precisely
different way.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I want to make this super easy because I understand, you know, if you try to teach me how to do something that's outside of my comfort zone, I'd probably be going, what are you talking about? The problem actually goes beyond apps and websites and all this lingo they like to throw at you. If you take anything back to the board, it's that we need better data. If you've ever stood on a platform waiting for a train and you look up at the next train sign and it's got all this wacky data that makes no sense, that data goes everywhere. It's not just the sign that you're looking at. That's what goes out to all these mobile devices and websites and APIs and all this other lingo that you can throw out. So I think what we are asking for, if we can, is better data. Now, the train system specifically has a lot of issues because what you see up on those boards are basically guesses. Well, the train was here, and in 2 minutes it should be here. And then when something happens, that data becomes corrupt. There are better ways to do it. Other transit systems use other ways. It's an investment WMATA would have to make to get better data. And then the other part of it is the data they do have really needs to be scrubbed a little bit. It needs to be cleaned up, and there are certain formats that WMATA needs to comply with so that everyone out there who wants to make $1.99 on a next train app can have good data. Mm-hmm. Does that help?
Yeah. Thank you.
And if I could just follow on what Chris has been saying, you know, one of the issues that has affected NextBus reliability most severely is the system that actually tracks the buses, which is getting to be relatively old. And the problem is sometimes, particularly during rush hour when there are around 900 buses on the road, an individual bus will only be submitting a position update, in the worst case, once every 10 minutes. I mean, ideally it should be 2 minutes or less. That's what they claim. But the network gets so congested that an individual bus can't sort of get its turn to talk more often than every 10 minutes. And especially if you're talking about an express bus, I mean, you know, like a B30 could be halfway between here and BWI, and or between Greenbelt and BWI in 10 minutes' time. And so that's one of the reasons why the next bus predictions don't often make sense, is that, you know,
they say there's no bus coming in the next 70 minutes, and it's supposed to be there in 30.
Right, because the bus just hasn't been able to update the system with where it is. Now, they are rolling out a new system across the fleet slowly, which will dramatically increase the update interval. There hasn't been a whole lot of communication about that externally, but that should make the next bus predictions more accurate. One of the other things is that, and this is a communication issue, is that obviously when there are detours, when there are special events, whenever a route is disrupted, next bus is going to be looking for buses that are on, that are following the regular route. So that's something where people should just know in advance that next bus is not going to work in the snow, if there's a parade, if there's a marathon, if, you know, DC is shut down because the presidential motorcade is crossing the city. You know, it's not going to work. And it's certainly, you know, if your bus is detoured three streets over, it's not going to tell you when it would have arrived. You know, it's just not going to work. Right. Right.
Well, thank you so much for your comments, but I would like to encourage you to email through John or to on our website as well, any studies, survey results, any information that you have that could help us, you know, as we work through this, or any challenges that you've addressed in the past, any of that information would be very helpful.
Yeah, the list of data that you mentioned.
Absolutely. Any other information that you have would be very helpful. So, great. Any other comments? Okay, so we'll move on to the next work plan proposal. And Barbara, I know you don't have anything formal, but I think for the next meeting when we discuss our proposals, what I think would be very useful if we have sort of a methodology, what are we looking at, how we're going to address it, our resource needs and our timeline, our time frame for addressing that particular proposal. So I'm sorry to put you on the spot today. If it's something that you can share today, great.
Just the when you first mentioned that, I guess on the 1st of May, I sent something around, and it wasn't by any stretch all those things you covered, but it was simply really very basic that having this presentation today and then within the next 10 days to develop what that action plan would be. It was kind of like waiting until we heard it to even come up with it. And I think we have one thing for sure that we've talked about already is seeing they're going to be providing. We'll be working with John to get to Lynn to see what we can get from the data that they have. And then with the hope that if we can come up with a plan of that to circulate within this group, and if appropriate, if we are in any kind of agreement on anything, then to take it to the RAC at the next meeting in June, which is two or three.
And again, if I can just sort of bring us back to the beginning on this, I think what Mr. Downs had asked for was just sort of an overview, because this, you know, this is not, as we've discussed, this is not something that on a more granular level the board gets in terms of overview of customer complaints. And I think the main goal is, you know, Barbara, as you had mentioned, for the RAC to be aware of, you know, what's being said and what's out there and trends and those kind of things. You know, I guess I would just caution you all against making this too complicated.
No, that's all. I'm glad you make the caution. I think it's a good one. I think even just the kind of things they said tonight about, you know, the three most common things we get is my bus is late, had to wait a long time for the blue line, you know, that maybe a little somewhere between that and knowing that there are 90,000, there's some happy medium that it isn't to manage the departments and it's to inform us and know that there is a process and how it works and how people are feeling about it. So anyway, that's I'll try to work on that, you know, in the next couple of weeks online.
I would like to add one thing, and that is that there are a lot of people still thinking that the customer complaints, because years ago it was basically for all effects and purposes shut down. It didn't work, period. You would send an email or complaint and didn't know exactly the black hole. And a lot of people stopped using that tool, period, because it didn't work, so why bother? And that's one thing that I think that Metro should be promoting more, their new service, so that people are aware that we're trying to improve it and, you know, more comments. And as he said, they get 90,000 they got 90,000 complaints a year, but my issue is that a whole lot went unreported because a whole lot of people are not aware of the new system.
Yeah, I think that encouraged that there were 90,000 people that did, and I often didn't make comments when I intended to, but somehow never, I'd think of it at the time I wasn't at a computer, and you know, I did by coincidence do two in the last week, and a commendation of a station manager and a complaint about a bus driver, and I got an email back that was clearly not just a standard form response. They said I hadn't given them enough information, they knew who the bus driver was, and they would follow. I mean, I was surprised, because that is not the response I had in the past.
That's the thing, that a lot of people have
Right, you're right. Maybe, see, that could be some part of our plan to make sure people do know.
But
I don't miss, that's possibly it.
Maybe I'm skipping to the end, but one of the I think one of the most revelationary things tonight was, and it, see, to me, a lot of this stuff, the indicator, performance indicators, don't seem to jive with what people on the street are saying. And tonight I got another insight into that. It's because social media and customer complaints should get married. I mean, in other words, you've got people out here making comments. I mean, I don't know how many of you got the kind of the compendium that Carl sent about the tweets about the situation yesterday on the red line. But, I mean, it's like there's a whole group of people out here that are saying one thing, and then that's not being captured. And the other thing, and especially, you know, living around where Catholic University and a lot of tourists go there or stay on the campus during this tourist season, people go into the bus, to the kiosk manager. I'm sure people think that when they complain to the station manager, something happens. And evidently there's no process for doing that. So it seems like one of the things that I think we need to tell the board is you got a lot of uncaptured material here, uncaptured information coming from social media, coming from comments that might have been made by the, you know, to station managers that is not being addressed. It's not being captured. That's scary to me, kind of. It's scary, but it also explains why the riding experience is not exactly what the indicators indicate they are.
So that makes me think you've both just come up with some really good ideas, and I'm thinking if we can all just digest this, what we've heard tonight, and look back at the notes we took or the things we read, and come up with what would be some, what do you think are components of an action plan that we would like, based on what we know now, not even counting what information we may get, you know, through John. I'd appreciate that.
So you want to send it to you?
Yeah, if you can. Okay. Yeah, you just email it to me, what you thought, and I'll compile and send back, share. Well, you can share it as you send it.
And I think the other thing is the form itself. The form itself is kind of discouraging. You know, there's more information that you have to fill out until you get to the bottom line, and it sounded to me like some of the, you know, like the beauty of, like, you know, Fort Totten Station. Well, if something happens in the station, how do I identify it? Is it the red line? Is it the green line? There's a whole lot of extraneous information, but you have to put something in those fields or you can't get down to the complaint. So I think one of the definite things we should be looking at is the form itself, the design of the form itself.
I've had some training and survey and interview design, and the worst thing you can possibly have is you know what you want to say and you can't figure out how to say it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's, you can't, because it asks which line. Well, there were two lines there, you know. I was on, anyway. Yes, well.
It doesn't ask for the line. It's not required.
No, no, but there are some things, though, that I know that I wanted to say, but it didn't fit in the format. I could not enter it.
Okay, great. So we are at the end of our meeting. I wanted to give Pat a few minutes to discuss the proposal that she's working on, just to share some information with the group.
Right. Metro has asked the RAC to consider helping, getting involved with this project of determining what bus stops could be renovated. So at this point, they're in the process of hiring a public outreach consultant to kind of work with that project, and that person should be on board early June. So they're asking if we would consider entertaining them at our next meeting to tell us how we can be more involved in that process, pretty much determining what standards should be used in determining what bus stops need to be renovated. What would your criteria be for prioritizing what stops, you know, should be renovated and which ones shouldn't?
Sorry, if I can just add to that, this is, it's not overall, as by and large, Metro does not control its own bus stops, but Metro did receive a federal grant for around $1.5 million. This is someone, for those of you that were here in last year, someone came and talked about the two federal grants back in November that Metro has received. This is for the second of those federal grants, and it's sort of determining criteria to use on how to apply that grant. The bulk of the money spent in the region on bus stop improvements will be done by the jurisdictions still, those that have, you know, shelter and advertising programs. This is sort of, you know, in addition to that. And, you know, and as Pat said, is going to involve a direct outreach process with the public. And then, you know, I think the goal of staff and their interaction with the RAC is both to sort of let you know what the outreach process is going to be and get your input on that, but then also come back at the end of that process and sort of share their findings with you and talk about, you know, what they think the results are and what you think the results are.
Okay, great. Any other comments? Excellent. Well,
so we're including it in
the next meeting, yes. We will discuss this particular topic in the next meeting. Okay, well, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.